Welcome to the Run Nerd Library Podcast, a podcast for those who eat, sleep, breathe, train, think, talk, and read about running, and those who are curious. I'm the host, Don Hahn, a self-proclaimed run nerd. I consider myself more of a running enthusiast than an expert, fueled by coffee and blind optimism. This podcast will feature running experts talking about their books and enthusiasts like me who are here to discuss their books with them. Whether you're listening on your commute or on your run, we are happy to have you here. Hello and welcome back to the Run Nerd Library Podcast. Today, I'm fortunate to have back on the show the first two-time guest of the Run Nerd Library Podcast, author Bill Kenley. When Bill was last on the show, we talked about his novel, his debut novel, High School Runner, and we recently republished it under the Run Nerd Press imprint. Today, we're going to talk to Bill about a new publication he has coming out, also with Run Nerd Press. It's called Tiny Little Running Shorts. It's a collection of 20 short stories based on the same characters that you know and love from High School Runner, and goes through a series of events throughout the high school experience of the main protagonist, and that's Sherman Kendall, also known as K1. So we'll talk to Bill about that book. Let's catch up with Bill really quickly here about what's going on with him. And if you'd like to find out more about what got Bill started with running and what got him started with writing, go back and check out episode 2 of the podcast. And in that first segment, we get to know Bill a little bit better. But Bill, I'd like to just kind of catch the audience up with what you've been up to since we last talked back in March. How are things going? What's going on with you?
Things are great, Don. I just got back from a cross-country camp with the team down in Clifty Falls. I'm a little scratchy. I found some poison ivy at some point in time, and now I'm suffering for it. But camp was great. It's great to talk to you about these stories mm-hmm. right now, because that energy, that vibrancy of high school runners is in me. I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, it's the start of the high school cross country season. There's all the enthusiasm, all the anticipation of the season to come. I imagine with a group of how many runners did you have there with you?
We had 32 runners and 12 mm-hmm. dads.
Yeah, so that's a big group. A lot of energy, a lot of activity, I'm sure, going on there. And how does the team look this year? What are your early thoughts?
We are very good. Our goal is to be up at the top of the podium in the fall, and then a bigger goal is to move on to the Nike Nationals. So wow. Got a good team, very good.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a good group. They finished strong in the state meet last year, and I'm sure you're looking to even improve on those results this year. Excellent. And so we've spent a pretty good amount of time over the last several months since you joined Run Nerd Press with your titles and worked pretty closely together. In just a couple of minutes, we'll talk about some of those stories that I referenced in your new upcoming novel, Tiny Little Running Shorts. And by the way, excellent title. Every time I mention that to folks, they get a little chuckle out of it. And for the runners in the audience, you're probably picturing the 3-inch inseam. if you're familiar with High School Runner and the era in which Bill writes about, you kind of go back and look at the runners of that era. And maybe a little bit predating that, Frank Shorter, but even going forward to the ones in the mid to late 80s and early 90s. So it kind of has a nice little image that comes to mind as soon as you talk about that title.
Yeah,
so,
we know a guy has bought in on our team when he shows up in some actual running shorts, right? When they come in as freshmen, they've got basketball shorts just to the knees. But yeah, when they show up with the side splits, you know they're good, right?
They're ready to go. Yes, sir. Yeah. So let's jump in, Bill. Let's talk about Tiny Little Running Shorts. So the novel High School Runner, obviously, was your breakout novel. And if for folks who haven't read it yet, I'd say go ahead and get High School Runner and read that in anticipation of the collection of short stories that's coming out, so you can get familiar with some of the characters that you're going to be reading about. What I really liked in taking on this project, Tiny Little Running Shorts, is these are exciting stories. They're all individually, as a short story should be, they're all individually written to be standalone, but they flow from one to the next. So kind of talk to the audience about why a collection of short stories and where these stories came from.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've always loved short stories. I was a fan of Stephen King when I was a kid. The first Stephen King stories I read were Night Shift and Skeleton Crew, which are just full of really fun stories that a lot of people are familiar with. A lot of those stories, a lot of them have been turned into movies. And I think for me, so much of what's great about being a runner and being a coach are the little things that happen, right? The anecdotes along the way, like a bad case of poison ivy, or he had a kid at camp who one year fell through the back of the port-a-john. There was a wooden, you know, structure over the pit, and the kid was back there for no good reason, and he fell through, and it's like you can't build a novel off of that, right?
Yeah.
You can't go 300 pages on a kid falling through into the port-a-john, but you can certainly tell a good anecdote about it, a really funny or gross, as the case may be, short story. So that's a natural. I mean, as a coach and runner, moments pop up all the time, and short stories are great for capturing those.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, over your coaching tenure, you've seen a lot of those kind of things where, you know, life is what happens when you're not really paying attention. Right. And then you think about it like, oh, that was pretty funny. Or that was, you know, that's a story that's going to live on as in the coaching annals, as you tell future students or future athletes about the past and the athletes you had. And hopefully they're not trying to outdo that level of silliness or so forth, but definitely it's worth the kind of stories that you're telling here in this. So let's kind of as you think about the chronology of these short stories, again, they take us through the 4-year high school experience of K1 and K2, his brother. And all of the teammates that are part of that. Talk to the audience, if you would, a little bit about how that progression takes place as they go from, you know, the early years to the seminal moment where they have to decide if they're going to run or if they're going to march. So kind of talk us through that.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert here. I at the end of the first book, and it ends with, I won't spoil anything. I'll just say that at the end of the book, our protagonist Sherman has finished his cross country season, and he knows who he is, right? Identity is super important to all of us, but when you're a teenager and you're kind of figuring out that big idea about your own identity, how people see you, how you want to see yourself, you know, you create a code of values out of that identity. And so at the end of High School Runner, he knows who he is. That's the bottom line. And from there, the short stories pick up in the spring. It's a track season, and he is watching a race, and he's watching one of his teammates run, and it's a very special teammate. He's based on a real guy, a kid that's very close to my heart. He's not a kid anymore. He's 30, but it's about a guy who's trying to break 10 minutes for a mile. So he takes that in, and just like the guys on my team are doing. You know, it's not just your experience that counts. It's the experiences you share, you know, watching teammates, learning to respect your teammates, learning to recognize that it's more than just winning that matters. So he has this this first experience in the spring, watching this kid race and trying to break 10. And from there, it pretty much goes through chronologically. That was intentional. The stories, it just, in my mind, I write with anecdotes in mind, a moment to write about, or sometimes a character. So I just put them where they belonged. In fact, I considered putting specific dates from the 80s in there, because I could have done that. I could have gone to an old calendar, you know, Googled 1986, you know, and I could have found a Saturday and had the date right. I decided that was more than we needed, but I think it's interesting to realize that in my mind it's that specific. I can find the exact date that Reggie Wozkowski broke 10 minutes, because it's kind of in my head. I know where that would be on the calendar. So it goes all the way through, like you said, it goes through sophomore, junior, and senior year, and ends with something I think is more typical than people might realize. It's the choice that runners always have to make between doing their kind of intense, exclusive, really high level kind of thing, or should they be with the masses, right? The problem of the story is, does a kid, because his race has been postponed, does he walk with all of his classmates at graduation, or does he miss his graduation ceremony and run in the 4x400 relay? And I think there's a really cool and deep and basic conflict there for all runners, in that being a runner separates you from the majority of people. You know, you're leaving the party early on Friday because you've got a race. You know, you talk too much about your marathon training. People who love you and are close to you are shaking their heads. You know, we've talked about this enough.
So, that's never happened in my life, Bill.
No, I'm sure, Don. I'm sure you've never gone there.
Yeah.
But you know, that dichotomy, that I think it's very real. I think it's very real. And one thing I like about these stories too is, you know, I often end up not giving a yes or no answer. You know, I find I pose a problem, but often the problem ends up being pretty ambiguous, like just like real life, right? The reality is, you can walk in graduation and be there with everyone and celebrate that. There's something joyful about that, being a part of everybody, or you can do something exceptional and maybe be a little lonely in the process, right? So
one way or another, you're going to miss out on a big part of your existence, your life, your high school experience, when you make that choice. But it's you know, as far as choices to go, you want to have those kind of experiences, right? That you're on that precipice of running in a state meet, and you've put in all the work in the case of the protagonist, 4 years to get to that point, and then all of a sudden it's hinged on, you know, I don't want to give away spoiler here, but it's hinged on making that decision in a short period of time, with not wanting to let your team down on one hand and not wanting to miss out on that experience of walking for graduation on the other hand. So
right,
it's a tough choice. It's a tough choice. Right. So readers will have to read the story to see how it plays out, right? And I think one of the big important things about your ability to tell these stories is, and you've said this with High School Runner, that it's really a love letter to your teammates, right? And the same carries through with these stories. And I think that's why you can tell them the way you do. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that there is so much love. There's so much of that camaraderie. You are a band of brothers that when you're telling these stories, even if it pokes fun at somebody a little bit, it's not out of meanness or spite. It's really because you guys earned that right in the moment to have those stories and to share them.
Yeah, I think you're right on the nose there. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And I think we're having, and I don't mean to get too heavy or deep, but I think we're having a moment in our larger culture that's struggling with that problem. You know, I recently, the Northwestern coach, you know, a football coach got fired due to some hazing incidents. Mm-hmm. As he should have been if it was out of his control. I think there's a story in Tiny Running Shorts that deals with an initiation, right? The guys have to do a silly task. You know, it's scary, but they all kind of get that it's at its heart, it should be fun. You know, it should bring them closer together. It's that story where they run from one side of the graveyard at the other at midnight, which I really like that spooky story. Several of these kind of fall into the category of mild horror, don't they, Don?
A little bit. Yeah. There's some that you're like, yeah. Like,
it's like three or four. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, that love that you mentioned, that deep connection, you know, if you don't have that, and if you don't have the desire to move forward with that, then you're right. You can't get away with those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Because I heard somebody define it this way: the difference between bullying and hazing, both being bad. Mm-hmm. Bullying is you want to get the kid out, right? It's treating a person badly so they kind of disappear. Hazing is treating somebody badly, so you draw them in, right? Mm-hmm. And by doing that, you kind of create a culture of silence, like you don't talk about this, you know.
Yeah.
And both are bad, but there's something that's like an initiation, which could be a challenge. Like, can you run this gate to gate run? Can you go 10 miles? Mm-hmm. Can you run a 5K race? Right. I mean, those are all challenging. Those mm-hmm. are all things that that create some kind of an identity. And when done with love and done with with respect, I think people thrive with those.
Yeah.
Kinds with the to, when it comes to those kinds of challenges.
Yeah, again, and you make a good point too, and especially with running, there are so many ways that you can do that. Because of the nature of the sport, like Brian Sell talked about, when new members would join the Brooks Hansen team, they would all go out on a run, and the whole team would go out on a run, and they would intentionally, even though it was supposed to be a slow run, they would intentionally increase the pace of the run slowly so that the new person wouldn't really realize what they were doing. And they would keep going and keep cranking it up and keep cranking it up until that new person fell off the back. And there's just kind of the same kind of, you know, fun story of we're going to show you that you're new here and you're not in charge yet. And so, you know, there was one run he talks about where the person just wasn't falling off the back end. So by the end, they're running, you know, they're running in the low fives, high fours on a slow run to drop the kid off. Yeah. So those kind of things, you know, it's that, I think that's what you're getting at of, you mm-hmm. can do more of those types of, it's not hazing. It's more the initiation activities. And I think there's a healthy camaraderie that's built from that. Would you agree?
Totally. Totally. And I think, you know, as a teacher and a coach, I feel strongly that people want to be a part of a group like a cross country team, mm-hmm. where they can be proud of having done things that quote unquote mainstream, you know, people don't do, right? Mm-hmm. And facing those challenges, you know, the bus ride home from camp it's just the best, you know, because we're tired. You know, we've got these fond memories, and we're connected. And mm-hmm. without the challenge, without the doubt, without the, you know, the reality of that kind of good stress, I guess, you don't get those, you don't get that good bus ride home, you know. Mm-hmm. I worry that too often we're just making sure that nobody is distressed in any way, you know. And I'm certainly sympathetic to everyone, I hope, but yeah, I do feel like that element of our of the stories is poignant because mm-hmm. of maybe people being and sometimes rightly so really, really concerned about that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And as I was going through the table of contents, there are 20 stories in this collection. Again, they're going from, as you said, track season after that first cross country season of high school runner all the way through graduation. And it is really, it's a mix. It's maybe not the kind of stories you would totally expect in a book about high school athletes in track and field and cross country. And that's great because it does show the complexity of the characters. Are there any stories that really stand out in your mind that you want to highlight? Yeah, this one is really meaningful to me because, and then is there anything like that?
Yeah, I think that first one that I already mentioned, Waz's last race. So a lot of stories, most writers write from their lives. Yeah. They all write from their lives to some extent. And as a coach over all these years, I've had some really special athletes, none more special than the young man that character Waz is based on. I still see him in the grocery store every now and then. Mm-hmm. He's about 4'8", right? He's got achondroplasia, and he wears Gucci warm-up suits. He wears $2,000 warm-up suits. He's a little badass, you know.
Yeah,
pushing his cart around Kroger, and I think that one really means a lot to me. He read it. I let him read it.
Yeah.
It meant a lot to him. Another one that I really like is the one about the guy who's identifying as a communist with Emil. And it talks a lot about Zatopek. Emil Zatopek is a hero. And his life story is an amazing one. In that story, I love the idea of bringing his story to light,
mm-hmm.
maybe for some readers who may have never heard of him or known who he was. I really enjoyed bringing that historical real character into that story, kind of as a nice to it.
Yeah, there's a number of those kind of, I'm going to air quote, run nerd references in the book where you're bringing up historical characters, books and things like that you know are really the basis of what a run nerd is. Like seriously, like when I think about my social media feed and the things that pop up on there and some of the text threads that go back and forth, I'm sure similar to you with some of your running buddies and maybe even some of the coaching buddies that you have text threads with, and you're talking about like national records that have just been set, and man, there's been a deluge in the last 3-4 weeks of all levels, from like under 20 up to super masters. Like there's a 75-year-old lady in Japan, you know. Yeah. So all these kind of things, but you're hinting and touching on a lot of the history that has brought us to that point in these stories. And it was, you know, some of it was kind of going on at the time of the stories, and other parts of it were the athletes were being introduced to these things by their fellow teammates and things like that. And that's really a cool aspect of it too, is as a runner, you can relate to all of these stories in some way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my, I think people love to learn. They don't like to sit in a classroom, right? Most of us don't like to sit and be talked at.
Yeah.
But if we can learn something in a way that feels natural, I mean, it's it fires your neurons, you know, when you're understanding something. So that's really something I try to do in my stories is, you know, like there's one story that brings in the whole idea of teenage boys and how there's a kind of an archetypal experience of shutting down, right? For teenage boys, it's mm-hmm. the Vikings refer to it as rolling in the ashes. Like you're rolling in the ashes of the fireplace. You're filthy and you, it's like a kid who just plays video games all day, right? Mm-hmm. And who grunts when his parents talk to him. There's this time of just despondency. And it has to do with not feeling confident about being an actual man in the world, right? You're mm-hmm. you're rejecting that. So I love that kind of knowledge, and I feel like I love jamming it into a story. I think those little paragraphs of explanation, that's some of my favorite writing, where you yeah. get a little bit of explanation about a big idea and then carry on with the stupid stuff that's happening, right? Like the silliness that's happening in the story.
And that's what you're going to get, right? I mean, the stories are all, as you've said, there's an arc to every story. And it's a series of events that these kids are going through from the start to the finish, where, you know, you're going to see how they learn and develop from that. And there's the track patrons that they have to sell. And that story takes a whole twist that, you know, probably wouldn't have expected, but like it touches on a social issue that's really important. It touches on how a coach's relationship with his athletes and the care that a coach has for their athletes comes into play in those scenarios. Anything you want to kind of add to that?
Yeah, I feel like one thing that fiction can do is it can bring up some very touchy third rail kind of subjects in the course of the story. Like I already mentioned, you know, hazing, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a tricky thing to talk about. And the same is true with the story of the patrons and that's based on a real life experience mm-hmm. That I had not too long ago for the listeners. Basically, it's three young black sprinters on the team who struggle to sell patrons because in their mostly white town, when they knock on the door, it's not uncommon for the person opening the door and seeing a young black man standing there to think that this is some kind of a scam. That was a reality for us. You know, we. Mm-hmm. We had to deal with that as an issue when we sold patrons, and it was an eye opener to many of our coaches and our athletes that was a reality that these guys might face. So when you tackle it with a story, what you get is the experience of one or maybe two or three characters, and you get that experience of that ambiguity where this is more complicated than you're a bad person, right? This is more complicated. I go back to the hazing idea, you know, when's initiation end and hazing begin, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or it depends on the individual, right? If some guys just love it, you know, I was in a fraternity, we were morons, we said bring it on, you know. I'm wearing a potato sack at 2 a.m. and I don't care, you know. I think it's hilarious. 95% of other people would have been like, this is, you know, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah.
and so when you've got a story though, you know, you can handle it in a complex way. And then people, because they're seeing it and watching it and kind of experiencing it, they don't necessarily have to argue about it. You know, they can talk about what happened, right? Yeah. And what their response might have been. Because of the complexity, it's going to be a more nuanced conversation, yeah. You know? So So that's really important to me. I think if there's a moral value or a reason other than entertainment to tell stories, to write fiction, I think it's that. I think it's complex to make you sit back and not shout and yell and think you're right, you know, all the time.
Right. And the way that you do it, the way you interweave those stories and those complexities really is a great learning tool. I mean, you're an English teacher, you're a coach, your essence is to help kids improve, right, and grow, and they can do that with these stories. These are interesting stories for that teenage runner that wants to read something quickly. They may not be interested in reading a full book, 300 pages cover to cover, but they might read a 15 or 20 page short story, right? And be able to devour that and then want to read another one, and they can keep going and build on it sequentially, but in a way that isn't necessarily a cover to cover read right out of the gate. So I think there's that aspect of these stories. Everyone who's read it in the review process and the editing process has said these are great stories. Like they want to read them. I think, you know, for adult runners, they're going to want to read these too, and so forth. So anything else that you want to just kind of add as it relates to this new publication?
Yeah, I'm just I'm really excited about it. These stories are really close to my heart. I think they're good. I've read them before. It's been 5-6 years that I've been working on that, mm-hmm. longer than that, actually. Mm-hmm. And I've had some good experiences reading these out loud. I'm just really happy and excited to have a book that I can use to kind of hopefully read them to more people and share them with more people and talk about these big ideas. And like I said, bottom line, you know, laugh a lot.
My guest for this episode has been Bill Kenley, author of High School Runner and the newly published collection of short stories, Tiny Little Running Shorts. You can grab an autographed copy of both titles from www.runnerdlibrary.com/shop. That's runnerdlibrary.com/shop. When you order directly from our shop, Bill will autograph and personalize a copy and we'll send it out to you. If you prefer ebooks, you can grab those from any of the many sources that are out there, Kindle, Nook, Apple Books, and we're also on VitalSource. Thanks for taking time to listen today. We appreciate having Bill on, and we hope that you've enjoyed the podcast.